Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, understanding God's wonderful Bible. Basic information before leaving Earth. Don't go home without it. I sure would hate, I don't know about you, Jonathan, I sure would hate to stand before the Almighty and Him say, did you read my book? Yeah, I opened it a couple times. I got one on the dash of my car, though, because I know if I'm in a wreck, it'll protect me.
Yeah.
Did you read my book?
It's under my pillow.
Yeah. At least read it once, but you should try to read it dozens, if not hundreds of times. I'm talking entirely. Get in there. You will learn things every time you read through it. I've read through it 100 times in different passages, hundreds of times. And every time I get in this book, I see something that astounds me. It's like, wow, I have never understood that before. But God says, I will give it. If you earnestly seek the mysteries into my book, I will open them up to you. Chapter 10, book of Numbers. Israelites have come out of Egypt. And God had given Abraham this, the original covenant, which was not the Ten Commandments. That's what you've heard in church. The original covenant was follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. One is a carnal thing. One is a spiritual thing. You know, that is follow me with all your heart and show it outwardly by circumcising your children. On the way out of Egypt, God realized these people could not do that. One day they're following him, the next day they're not. So he said, if you don't want to do it the easy way, we're going to do it the hard way. I'm going to give you physical tasks to do to so that you can, in your minds, think that you're keeping yourselves holy. So he gave them the law, the binding law that is, yes, if you're born into this world, you are under the law. The law leads to sickness and death. Sin in the law equates to sickness. Sin in the law equates to death. And after death, separation from God. Jesus Christ came to place it back to the simplicity it was when God gave it to Abraham. It says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and love your neighbor as yourself. It's all about the heart. It's all about love. Ask for the grace of Jesus Christ and the bondage of the law will be broken. And for you Christians out there that want to hold on to the law, Bible says that if you hold on to any portion of the law, you must keep it all. If you keep it all, or you hold on any portion of it, the grace of Jesus Christ is of no avail to you, because what you're telling him is his sacrifice was not good enough. You still must do some of these things if it's keep the Sabbath. You know, resting on the Sabbath is good for your body. But if you do it as a statute to keep yourself holy, you're telling Jesus Christ his supreme sacrifice was not quite good enough, and you got to add to it a little bit. God forbid to be a believer in him and not trust him wholly. Chapter 10, book of Numbers. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make these 2 trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them. Thou shalt mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. When thou shalt blow them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow, but with 1 trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. When ye blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for all journeys. But when the congregations be gathered together, ye shall blow. But ye shall not sound an alarm. Different types of trumpet calls, just like in the army. You got reveille, you got taps, you got assembly, you got all those different things. They had all the same things here. Different types of blowing, different amounts of horns blowing meant different things. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. That is a rule to follow, more of the law. If you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God. Ye shall be saved from your enemies. So God's saying there, you're going into battle. Make sure you blow those trumpets. Kind of wakes me up and gets my attention, so I'm going to be with you. So dare not go into battle without blowing the trumpets. Also in the day that your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be for you a memorial before your God and Lord your God. And it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony. Remember, God said, pitch the tent, the tabernacle, and I will ascend and stay with you. And when I leave, it's time to move the camp. And the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. And they first took their journey according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. In the first place went the standard of the camp of the children of Judah, according to their armies. And over his post was Nashon, the son of Amminadab, and over the host of the tribe of the children of Issachar. And you'll notice Judah is first, even though he is not the firstborn of the patriarch Jacob, because Reuben did that horrible thing with Jacob's wife. And in his blessing, Jacob basically said, you will amount to nothing, Reuben. Even though you had great austerity, you had great, you were a very, very good man, but you were as unstable as water. So Judah, who will be the family and the tribe that produces Jesus Christ, you'll see them taking the first place in a lot of times here. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Issachar was Nethiel, the son of Zur, and over the host of the tribe of the children of Zebulun was Eliab, the son of Helon. And the tabernacle was taken down, and the sons of Gershon and the sons of Merari set forward bearing the tabernacle. And the standard of the camp of Reuben was set according to their armies, and over his host was Eleazar, the son of Shedeur. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Simeon was Shemiel, the son of Zurishaddai. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Gad was Elisaphat, the son of Deuel. And the Kohites set forward bearing the sanctuary, and the other did set up the tabernacle against they camp, against they came. And the Kohites set forward bearing the sanctuary, and the other did set up the tabernacle against they came. Whenever they got there, the others set it up. And the standard of the camp of the children of Ephraim set forward according to their armies, and over his host was Elishama, the son of Ammihud, and over the host of the tribe of the children of Manasseh was Gamil, the son of Pedazur, and over the host of the tribe of the children of Benjamin was Abidan, the son of Gidoni, and the standard of the camp of the children of Dan set forward, which was the rearward of all the camps throughout their host. Dan was in the back. There's reason for that, too. During his blessing, Dan, his father said, you will be a serpent, an adder. Mm-hmm. You will strike out, and the Antichrist will come from the tribe of Dan. Dan set forward, which was the rearward of all the camps throughout their hosts, and over his host was his. It says, you know, this is laborious reading, but if you've read the rest of the book, you see things in here, just like the fact that Dan was in the back, and Judah was in the front. Yes. The head was Christ, the rear and the end was Satan.
Right.
You know?
Right. And the way that you're saying that, it literally, whenever you come back and you do this laborious reading that you're talking about, it fills in, it colors in some of the other storyline.
Absolutely. After you've read the rest, it all starts fitting in there. Yep. So I tell you to go get through it and then read the rest of the book, and then come and read parts of this, parts of that, parts of this, parts of that. And it's all going to fall together. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Asher was Pagiel, the son of Ochran. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Naphtali was Ahri, the son of Enan. Thus were the journeyings of the children of Israel according to their armies when they set forward. Moses said unto Hobad, the son of Regiel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. Moses is inviting his father-in-law along. We've seen back in Leviticus, him and his father-in-law had a very good relationship. His father-in-law gave Moses really good advice. You know, you're judging 2 million people yourself. You're going to kill yourself, pal. You know, set up other judges, you know, lower tier judges, and let them judge the hundreds and the fifties and the thousands. And if something they can't deal with, you're the Supreme Court judge. How about that? And it was good.
That was Jethro, right?
Yes, Jethro. Yes. Right. And he says, come with us. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And he said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how. And see, Jethro was the priest of Midian. We don't know much about that, but obviously he followed God, because he came, when he came and talked to Moses, he says, this is the God.
Yeah.
Yes, so whatever covenant he had with God, he knew God. And I'm going to show you many, many people in here that knew God along their journey, and God had a relationship with them.
Yes, sir.
Okay, there are many covenants in this book. Jesus Christ, there's a play on words in here, says, no man cometh to the Father but by me. And if you look at Revelation 3, the seven churches, it's also seven types of individuals, and only a couple of them actually get to go into the city of God once it comes down on the new earth. But there are many in the kingdom of God outside the city.
In my Father's house, there are many mansions.
Yes, that's right. And I go prepare a place for you.
Right.
And if you believe in me, they will be the finest ones on the block.
There you go.
There you go. And he said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And see, God led him away because he had other business other ways. And God knew these hard, stiff-necked people are going to circle 40 years in this wilderness. Yep. Before it even happens, and that Jethro would have probably died because he was old already. And it said, be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be, and what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same we will do unto thee. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day, and when they went out of the camp, came to pass when the ark set forward, and Moses says, rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. So this is the first time they're striking the camp after the tabernacle has been created and all the ornaments and the ark of the covenant is in it, and they've packed it all up and they're moving. Can you imagine those four guys carrying the ark for the first time?
Ooh.
Probably terrified.
Ooh.
They know if they touch it, they're going to die. And they're just inches away from it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, looking over my left shoulder the whole time.
I mean, you imagine, because you know it carried a presence. So
yes.
Just feeling the presence in it too, on top of that.
Absolutely. Chapter 11, Book of Numbers. And when the people complained, as they often did, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. The fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. The people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. This is a reoccurring theme here. Moses already talked God out of destroying all of them one time. God's done. I'm tired of these people. They follow me 1 minute, they're bellyaching. The next minute, I'm gonna burn them all, and we're gonna start over with you, Moses.
Yep.
And Moses thinks for a second. He says, "Wow, I'm old. That means I got to get some new wives, young children. Yeah. Lord, please don't kill them all." So he talked him out of it. Now he prays and stops God's vengeance again. And that's what God said the first time. He says, I want to be right here with people all the time. And then after God says, I want to kill them all, and Moses talked him out of it, he says, you know, I'm not going to be here all the time, because if I'm here all the time, I know they're all going to be dead.
Yep.
They just cannot get it together. And he called the name of the place Tabereth, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Again with the food. God's already dropped manna from heaven in the morning, and quail came in the evening. And they just cannot have the faith in God that has done amazing miracles. A stiff-necked people, God's words. We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely. Oh, this quail is getting old.
Yeah.
Quail every day.
We need some salmon or something.
Manna in the morning. Yeah, you remember all the different kinds of food we had in Egypt? Now we eat manna every day. Sure, it's angel food, and it really does taste good, but man, every day the same thing for breakfast.
Should we get some lox over
here? Yes. We remember the fish, which we did in Egypt freely, and cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. So the flesh is crying out for the desires that it used to have. And we talk about this a lot. The spirit of man was placed in the heart. Not the mind. The Bible says the mind is contrary to God. The spirit of man is placed in the heart. And it's up to the spirit man to gain control of this flesh and control of the mind. And you must do that. You cannot do that in excess. You must limit this body's pleasures in all fashions, starting with food. Food is the biggest drug to the spirit man there is. It will put him to sleep. And this flesh and mind will take over and trot all over him. You must put everything to a limitation. All things in moderation to keep control. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. This is angel food.
Yeah, all this magic food just appearing.
This is angel food. I'm tired of angel food. And the manna was coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of Bedlam. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it in the mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. And Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Never enough. No matter what God does for them, he's been feeding them now for 2 years. Yep. They're 2 years out of Egypt, and feeding them manna every morning and quail in the evening. Moses also was displeased, and Moses said unto the Lord, "Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I found favor in thy sight that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me?" So Moses is throwing it at God now. God threw it at Moses last time. These people you brought out of Egypt, Moses, they're a stiff-necked lot. And God turns around. Moses turns around and says, "No, Lord, you brought them out. I didn't."
So I think Moses is trying to get out ahead of the curb on this one.
Oh, yeah. God's like, you're right. Hey. Yeah, he knows how these conversations go.
Yeah.
So Moses says, "What have you done to me?
Yeah.
Why am I burdened with taking care of these slackers?
Yeah.
Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them?" Oh, he's laying it on hard.
Oh, yeah.
"You're the one that made them.
Yeah.
You're the one that chose them to be yours, that thou shouldest say unto me, 'Carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their father.'" Ooh, Moses is being very bold here.
Yes, he is.
"You made these people, you chose these people, and you made me be their father." Verse 13. This is, and you see, this labor's reading can be really cool.
Yes.
"Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, 'Give us flesh that we may eat.'"
There's no grocery stores.
No. "I'm not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me. Just kill me. I don't want this job anymore."
Yeah.
Are there things worse than death? Yes, taking care of the Hebrews.
Apparently. Apparently.
"Kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. Kill me now. I don't want to do this anymore," Moses says. "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee.'" Oh, I bet Moses is going out saying, you, come with me. These guys are probably shaking in their boots.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh. What is going to happen? I knew we shouldn't have been complaining. And I will come down and talk with thee there. I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them. Oh, okay. Ooh, so good. God is dividing up. He's dividing up the burden that Moses is carrying. That's good. And they shall, not good for those 70 men, but.
No. Helps Moses a bit, though.
Good for Moses.
Yeah, but they won't know how to argue with God at the time.
Oh, no.
if he comes to them.
They wouldn't dare. Moses' heart followed after God. The only way he got away with it.
Right. And these people are all about the mind and just learning.
Yep.
So, yep.
And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, that ye shall eat flesh. We have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give us flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out of your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord, which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? God says, all right. You want me to eat? You're going to eat it until you hate it.
Yeah.
Bologna again today?
All of it.
And Moses says, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh, that they may eat a whole month. Now, every time we see that number, they only number the men. It's not the women and the children. We figured there's between 2 and 3 million. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my words shall come to pass unto thee or not. Am I not able to do this? Trust me, I got this.
Yeah.
And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in the cloud and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Filled with the Holy Spirit, who is not here at this time. That is a gift later, but it is given to individuals at this time. And now, through Jesus Christ, it is available for everyone.
Can you imagine how much faith Moses had to have that it overly filled each one to even have just a portion of his faith?
Yes. And we talk about that a lot. Moses' heart was directed toward God. Right. And that's God. All God wants is your heart. Mm-hmm. If you follow me, the original covenant, follow me with all your heart, God says, and circumcise your children. It's that easy. And everything is legal for you at that point. You don't become sinful every day. As long as your heart is on me, there is covering for you. The men in the camp, the name of one was Eldad, the name of the other was Medad, and the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my lord Moses, forbid them. Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them? Moses gat him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quail from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side. Wow.
Whoa, I just saw that visual.
You're talking about 15 miles in all directions, quail. Now, he had given them quail early in their exodus from Egypt. He'd given them manna in the morning and quail in the evening. And apparently somewhere, it never says here, apparently somewhere it had stopped, and they were getting manna a couple times a day instead. So they were desiring to have meat. Round about 15 miles in all directions, and as it were 2 cubits high. Oh my gosh. He said, you're going to hate this stuff before it's over. He said, "Today I hate quail."
Can you imagine the job of cleaning all that? Man. Like, I mean, you know, to
eat. We're talking about billions of birds.
Yes.
2 cubits high upon the face of the earth, and the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quail. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers. Oh, they got sacks out there. Oh, I can't wait to get home and roast this bird.
Drooling.
And it spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people. And the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hataava, because they were buried, the people that lusted. And the people journeyed from Kibroth Hataava. That's the most terrifying thing in this Bible, are some of the names.
Yes.
Unto Hazeroth, and abode at Hazeroth. I imagine a Jewish guy would just ramble that right off his tongue.
Oh, yeah.
As if it were the word camp.
Right, yeah. And there would be a CH in there somewhere.
You know, it's okay to have fun with God's word. God is the God of love, the God of joy. Don't have to be so solemn when you read it, although it requires absolute respect. But it's okay to have fun with it. So here, God gives them what they want, and then he punishes them because he was providing for every one of their needs. Be very careful, Christians. If God is providing for all your needs, do not lust after things you do not need. He says, if your heart follows me, I will give you the joys of your heart, which are more than you need. But if he is providing for your needs, you need to be satisfied. Chapter 12, Book of Numbers, here with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7, Veterans for Freedom Radio. And we're in Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, God's amazing book. You need to read it slow, methodically. I read these laborious parts a little faster. You should read at this pace. Read it out loud. Don't read that silent reading in your head. The mind is contrary to God. You read it and you let it go in your ears and you absorb it. Let your spirit have it. Look at every word. Look at every sentence. Read it over and over again. And I promise you, God will open things up to you. Chapter 12. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman who he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Okay, all you Christians out there that do not believe in mixed marriages, Moses had a black wife.
Sure did.
Nothing wrong with it. People are people. You have to go back to what Ham did when the ark had landed, and Noah had been in that ark for a year, and the smell must have been really bad, and he's, I'm glad to get out of here. I'm planting myself a vineyard, and I'm going to get myself some wines. Him and his wife had a good time. Ham came in and did what he did. I tell you what, it was more than seeing his father naked. It had something to do with Noah's wife. Catch one of the episodes in the past on WVFFradio.com, Between the Lines, and I will prove to you it was more than seeing him naked. People back then, nakedness wasn't that big a deal. They would stand up and gird themselves in public.
Yep.
I mean, men seen men, women seen women. That is not what it is. I know your preacher told you that.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.